CD 7.
For some reason, Polly ended up patrolling with Maledict and Wazza, or, to put it another way, a vampire on the edge and a girl who was possibly so far over it that she'd found a new edge out beyond the horizon. She was changing every day, that was a fact. On the day they'd all joined up, a lifetime ago, she'd been this shivering little waif who flinched at shadows. Now, sometimes, she seemed taller, full of some ethereal certainty, and shadows fled before her. Well, not in actual fact, Polly would admit, but she walked as if they should. And then there had been the miracle of the turkey. That was hard to explain. The three of them had been moving along the cliffs. They'd circled a couple of Zlobinian lookout posts, forewarned by the smell of cooking fires, but alas, not by the smell of any coffee. Maledict seemed to be mostly in control, except for a tendency to mutter to himself in letters and numbers, but Polly had stopped that by threatening to hit him with a stick the very next time he did it. They'd reached a cliff edge that gave yet another view of the keep, and once again Polly raised the telescope and scanned the sheer walls and jumbled rocks for any sign of another entrance.
"Look down at the river," said Wazza.
The circle of view blurred upwards as Polly shifted the scope. When it stopped moving, she saw whiteness. She had to lower the instrument to see what she'd been looking at.
"Oh, my," she said. "There's Blouse's secret entrance, right where anyone can see it."
"It makes sense, though," said Maledict. "And there is a path all along the river, see? There's a couple more women on it."
"Tiny gateway, though," said Polly. "And it'd be so easy to search people for weapons."
"Soldiers couldn't get through, though," said the vampire.
"We could," said Polly, "and we're soldiers, aren't we?"
There was a pause before Maledict said,
"Soldiers need weapons. Swords and crossbows get noticed."
"There will be weapons inside," said Wazza. "The Duchess has told me. The castle is full of weapons."
"Did she tell you how to make the enemy let go of them?" said Maledict.
"All right, all right," said Polly quickly. "We ought to tell the Rupert as soon as possible, okay? Let's get back."
"Hold on, I'm the corporal," said Maledict.
"Well," said Polly, "and?"
"Let's get back," said Maledict.
"Good idea."
She should have listened to the birdsong, she realised later. The shrill calls in the distance would have told her the news, if only she'd been calm enough to listen. They hadn't gone more than 30 yards before they saw the soldiers. Someone in the Zlobinian army was dangerously clever. He'd realised that the way to spot interlopers was not to march noisily along the beaten paths, but to sneak quietly between the trees. The soldier had a crossbow. It was sheer luck, probably sheer luck, that he was looking the other way when Polly came around a holly bush. She flung herself behind a tree and gestured madly at Maledict further down the path, who had the sense to take cover. Polly drew her sword and held it, clutched to her chest in both hands. She could hear the man. He was some way away, but he was moving toward her. Probably the little lookout they had just found was a regular point on the patrol route. After all, she thought bitterly, it was just the sort of thing some untrained idiots might come across. Maybe a quiet patrol could even surprise them there. She shut her eyes and tried to breathe normally. This was it. This was it. This was it. This was where she found out. What to remember? What to remember? What to remember? When the metal meets the meat, be holding the metal. She could taste metal in her mouth. The man would walk right past her. He'd be alert, but not that alert. A slash would be better than a stab. Yes, a good swipe at head height would kill. Some mother's son, some sister's brother, some lad who'd followed the drum for a shilling and his first new suit. If only she'd been trained, if only she'd had a couple of weeks stabbing straw men until she could believe that all men were made of straw. She froze. Down the angle of the path, still as a tree, head bowed, stood Wazza. As soon as the scout reached Polly's tree, she'd be seen. She'd have to do it now. Perhaps that's why men did it. You didn't do it to save duchesses or countries. You killed the enemy to stop him killing your mates, that they, in turn, might save you. She could hear the cautious tread close to the tree. She raised the sabre, saw the light flash along its edge. A wild turkey rose from the scrub on the other side of the path in one rocketing tower of wings and feathers and echoing noise. Half flying, half running, it bounded off into the woods. There was the thud of a bow and a last squawk.
"Oh, good shout, Woody," said a voice nearby. "Looks like a big un."